Welcome back to the KRC Triangle. If you increase any one corner of the KRC Triangle, you of course increase the other two. Now they both work together. That means that if you have high seaward in an area that you're trying to do something with, say a business, you know, you're in good communication with it, you agree with it, you understand it, you can communicate, move things around, and you know a lot about it, and it's you owning it, you're responsible for it, you understand, you're going to have very good success in this. If you don't have one of these things, or you can't apply these triangles for that to be, you're going to be unsuccessful in moving towards your chosen goal. So the Book of Basics is something that sooner or later you're going to know by heart. It's not like memorizing things, but you will eventually just wind up knowing these things by heart because you see them every day. They're the very woof and warp, the weave of our space-time continuum here, you know, and this is the thread of the existence. This is what existence is made out of. This is how you control it. This is how you handle it. The Thetan is life. He's ARC. He's understanding. The being understands. He has that capability of understanding. And he can know things, and he can know about things, and he can own things, and he can be able to reach them, touch them, occupy them. He can be responsible for them. He can control them or direct their disposition. And then he can communicate to these things, and he can control them. He can start them, he can change them, and he can stop them. That's the third corner of the KRC triangle, is control. You know something about it, it's yours, now you can start it, and you can change it, and you can stop it, and you can move backwards and forwards, and turn it upside down. In other words, you can control it. Control, the anatomy of the control is start, change, and stop. These basically lectures would be given further on down the road here about Scientology itself. They're not necessarily as much a part of this intro lecture about Ingrams and resolution of them and auditing and stuff like this, but just in mentioning that there are a lot of basic scales. Scale is the last word there. Now you can have a lot of things happen to Thetan as he goes down through this time track. He picks up a lock. Now, a lock, we went over secondaries in Ingram, and a lock is something that reminds him of this original time that he got this Ingram. I don't remember if I covered that subject, but it just reminds him of it. You know, he's a little bit tired, you know, he's got a hit on the head, you know. When he was little, he lost a baseball game, and now he finds himself in the rain, maybe at a baseball game. He's got a little bit of a cold, and he don't feel too good, and it just all kind of reminds him of the whole nasty incident, and he kind of gets sick, and he goes home. He gets a little lock on it, and then every time he goes by some little something in the universe that reminds him of this Ingram or this secondary or something in it, he'll get another little lock on it, and every time he does, you're going to get a little bit of this coming out. So we have a special technique for running these locks. Now, in Ingrams, we just go through them a couple passes, and then we see if there's something earlier, and we just keep going through it, going earlier, and going through it, and going earlier. So we get down the first time anything like that happening, and we just keep going through it, and we erase it. Now, we treat a secondary almost the same way, but we treat it like it is the original. And you just go through the secondary over and over and over and over and over. Now secondaries again, you know, some kind of a semi-unconscious thing of a lot of grief and painful loss and things like this. Now lock scanning was one of the things that LRH realized that would remarkably speed the bank. At one point he decided that there was some way that you could just disconnect with Thetan, the being, from this whole construct that we call a physical universe and reality and minds and banks and dynamics and earths and planets and everything like that, you know. A dynamics, again, ourself, your family, your love life, and the groups, mankind, all living things, matter, energy, space, and time, the physical universe, spirits and other Thetans and things like that, and we have infinity or the universe. God to be, whatever you consider infinity is. These are just urges to survive. But we can have locks on any of these dynamics. And we can have Ingrams and secondaries and so forth. You know, somebody cuts down your favorite forest, we kind of give you a secondary on that that living dynamic, you know. But anyway, the way we run out log scanning is these things are hooked up, and they keep on hooking up to the Thetan, and then they finally reach him through thought, emotion, and effort, and so forth, where he really is a Thetan. Now, a thought is basically something that's going to affect him. He basically is a thought. He's just a decision to be in the first place. So whenever he hits an idea or another thought, it affects him personally, and if you can hook up something that to that idea, like an emotion, like happiness or sadness or something like that, then you can hook up a little bit of force to it, you know, or he's got some pain involved there. And you can sort of, the Thetan is kind of pinned to this whole reactive mind through thought, emotion, and effort. So you're running off, you can actually run out effort. You can do effort processing, and this gets God to contact all the efforts, and you can run out a lot of stuff that way. You can do emotional scanning, like by running in, secondaries. You can run that stuff out. You go back and forth over that until you erase it. You can run out locks, and there's a special way that you run out locks. Is that, let's say you're looking for a lock on a time when you felt tired, for example. So you'd recall a time, yesterday I felt pretty tired, and say, okay, fine. And then you go through the whole little incident and see what was there. And then, was there anything earlier than that? And you go look a little earlier and says, well, you know, I was really tired New Year's Day. You know, I was really tired that day, but I came into work anyway. And you say, okay, you can look at that one, and then you look at the next one. You look at the one that happened yesterday again. You look at it again, and you look in the present time, where you're at right now. And then you go back, and you find an earlier one. You say, well, okay, maybe this one was a year ago. And then you look at the one that was recent, and then you look at the one yesterday, and then you look at the one now. Then you go back to 5 years, then you hit the 1 year, 6 months, 3 months, today and now. And then you go back 10 years, or 20, or 100, or 50 lifetimes. No matter how far you go back, the thing is, you go back as far as you can, and then you look at every single incident coming up towards present time. Now, this basically cuts the locks that are hooking you up to these Ingrams and secondaries containing a lot of force, containing a lot of pain and influencing a person. So, in a way, you could look at cutting this lock and scanning off this emotions towards the different dynamics. You can cut this bank, sort of like taking a scissors along the top of a very heavy theater curtain, and you just snip right along the top. You just cut the whole thing loose instead of trying to use Ingrams and just erase the whole thing one Ingram at a time. So these were the approaches to OT in the 50s. There's a couple ways. The basic books will tell you about 08 and 8008 and these different things. It's basically taking the infinity of the messed universe and a zero for the Thetan to a zero for the physical universe and an infinity for the Thetan, you know, reducing the control of the physical universe over the being and increasing the Thetan's control over it. That was 8008. All of this stuff was written in the early days, so we didn't really know how complicated the bank was, or LRH didn't at that time. But through the years, we wound up finding, you know, just exactly what it's made out of, where it came from, and who put it together, how many layers of this thick, and exactly what incidents to spot to erase it. And we have the entire roadmap out. Now, how far is it? I have no idea. It's up. How powerful can a being be? I have no idea. It's an infinite thing. It could be all-powerful. And even that's a limitation. It could be beyond power. It could be the source of all power. The thing is that you can endlessly get better. You take a look. If you just assume that the time track is, you know, say 100 million years long, you know, and you have any kind of recollection of that at all, you look at one lifetime and it's only just a brief fraction of a second. Nothing really much happens to you stuck here in a little bitty tiny meat body here on Earth. I'm telling you, nothing really does. The stuff that really happened to you when you were big enough to put out suns and zooming around and creating universes and getting games and firefights and things were the same as other big beings. You know, you were always as a god. You just lost. You gave away your own power. you give it away to see these ingrams and secondaries and so forth, and various decisions that you made to play the game and be effect, and there are some very nasty things that happen along the time track. Now, in running lock scanning, one of the things you can do with lock scanning is you can do it by yourself. That's what the handbook for pre-clears is. It was given to the pre-clears that were being audited on the advanced procedure, and 8008 at the time, these were the O2 levels. There were 15 acts. You went in and you handled the guy's air, sea brakes, and different things, and you kind of sprung him out from his environment, and you did these things, and you lock scanned off every attitude across a whole big chart of attitudes against every dynamic. At the end, you know, I mean, you went over just about anything you could even remotely think of or believe or think, or hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of combinations. You know, it's eight dynamics, and there were, what, 15 columns, and each one had about 8 minutes, so that's 120 times 8, it's around 1,000 different recalls that you do, and you just have to lock scan all of them. Some of them take hours, some of them might even take days, and you get in some heavy stuff. It'll knock you out, and you wake up, and you try it again, knock you out. But it's just bank. It's the active mind, and you can get through it, and that's one of the fastest ways to get through it, is to scan off the locks. Of course, some people aren't able to do that. They hit the locks, and it's accusing a little too much of them. In that case, what you would do is go to self-analysis. And, you know, there's a lot of listening there. Recall a time when you looked at something big, or when you saw something small, and when you were happy, and when you saw a blue sky, and when you felt good, and so forth. These are little locks that sit on top of some of those engines and things. And so we just gently have the person look over these treasure moments, and they get a lot more confidence in their memory improves, they grace some of the locks. They get better and better, and then pretty soon you can actually put them back in there and have them, instead of generally spotting light locks and self-analysis, you can actually have them run these whole chains of these attitudes. Now, if a person isn't clear when you try that, you will help him out a lot. Its whole purpose is to tune you to the bank. It's to key the whole bank out. That's what it does. And then you later on we found a Scientology grade even more predictably keyed out, and some of these things kind of harm on up in the O2 levels. These are not exactly levels that are designed or work best on non-clears, but they work very good. They give the guy the ability to regain choice over the bank. You have the grades, your communication problems, relief, change, ability to move into new conditions and change your life. You know, it's quite how many people can't even change. So hardly anybody with a bank is dramatizing some kind of inflexibility, and inflexibility in the game of survival is usually death. You have to be able to adapt. You have to control your environment. And if you can't accept new solutions, then you're just going to get wiped out. And part of Scientology technology, a very great part of it, is the admin series, the administration stuff. This is all of the organizational policies. This is how the conditions of existence and so forth is applied. This is how the organization was set up to deliver this new technology to everybody. This was the supervision of it, and it's a group effort, you know. And so there has to be administration policies to tell people where to put things and what's in the basket and so forth. And you have another triangle, basically, of ethics, tech, and admin. Now, ethics is reasoning, contemplation towards optimum survival. That means thinking about it. That means being able to reason, to clarify knowledge, to logically arrive at a conclusion, you know, to reason things out, to look at data and compare it, and recognize differences, similarities, and identities, the whole sanity scale. There is a whole Y-finding and data analysis where you look at the data and classify it into sections, and then they help to find the why, the logic behind the whole thing, why the whole thing was there. There's a tremendous amount of targeting technology and applying purposes and goals and aligning these different scales and organizations where the administration policies are if not as powerful as the technical in the Scientology, at least is useful. Because even if you had a tenth of the technology that we had and a very good organization, well, you could do a lot of things. And that's exactly where the church is at today. They have a big organization. And because they apply the policy they already wrote. whatever, you know, however much they manage to acquire, they apply that. But nonetheless, you have ethics, you have tech, and you have admin. Now, ethics is basically looking over an optimum solution across the dynamics and doing that. You know, it means that the ethics conditions are from confusion, treason, enemy, doubt, liability, non-existent. Then you have a danger condition where somebody's still kind of doing their job, an emergency where you really got to get your products out, and you get to do that, and then you get an affluence, everything's moving in good, you got plenty of money, you pay off all your debts, you get in power, and you don't change anything. Why would you? Once you're in power, you just keep things the same. Every time something sags, you get out of there, you know, normal operation, that's what you do. If the statistics of getting no product going out, find out why, and strengthen it. And if it's falling, find out why it's falling, and get rid of it. You juggle those two things, out of emergency and into normal operation, you know. Then you get into affluence and then power, and you better write it up, and power change, because, you know, you're gonna change that over to somebody or whatever. But anyway, that's a part of the ethics conditions, you know. You need to look out over the dynamics, what's optimum survival, what's good for the group. Sometimes maybe bad for the individual. Sometimes what's bad for the individual may be harm to the group. You have to look at these things. It's just a way of getting the group to progress, to facilitate the flow of communication and exchange of ideas across space and between titans, so that something gets done. And the thing that you get done is the technology. You get done training, and you get done auditing. You get products, you get done. You have a whole product officer, establishment officer system. The product officer comes along, kicks everybody's ass, and makes them produce. Pisses everybody off, but man, they either work hard, and then here comes the establishment officer and pats everybody's head and gives them a new typewriter and another clerk and tries to patch the place back up after the product officer came along. I mean, there's a tremendous amount of technology that's the subject of many, many, many lectures just in the policy and administration of the prophet left us to Mr. L. Ron Hubbard, who we'll always be grateful for. Let me think about this a second. Oh yeah, anyway, so lock scanning. You can do the handbook for the pre-clears, and you can scan all these locks out, and you can just kind of cut the curtain of the bank, and it can go down. You can do self-analysis, you can erase locks that way. So basically what we have here in Dianetics, and all of this would qualify, is actually running Ingrams. You can either run them later or similar in your civil processes. The best and most effective is called Routine 3R, and it was revised, and basically it gives you a lot of various things that you would assess for in very exact ways that you would run these Ingrams and Ingram chains, and it can standardly train a person to clear people very quickly. In fact, it's an incredible course. You know, everyone's just going to have to take one eventually. Especially if you intend to make it anywhere on the advanced levels, you know, these immortality levels, we'll call them levels of immortality. You know, this is an immortality course, you know. So, once a guy gets on, that's it. You don't get off. You can't get off. You get off and the bees will sting you, you know. The bumps come out of the alley and poke a bottle in you or something. And you lose all your money. You get robbed, your refrigerator breaks down, house catch on fire. You can't get rid of it. Once you know what you should be doing, and you know, when you get some auditing, you run Ingram, I don't care if you want. You run a good one, and you know, man, this is way out of the soup. This is how I'm going to get it. I've wondered how I was going to get rid of this goddamn reactive mind. Yeah, well, that's how you do it. You do it through auditing. Very predictable, easy to do. You have several approaches at it. You go through Dianetics, erase it one chunk at a time. You have Scientology that kind of keys it out, which means to destimulate it, to move it away from the Satan. You have clearing by valences, finding that, letting the Satan know or find out who he really is, and he finds out he's not all the stuff he thought he was. And you have various ways of handling and addressing this reactive mind. But the title of this lecture, basically, is Beginning Scientology. This is an intro lecture to new people. There's a tremendous amount I know that I haven't covered or touched on, and I'm trying to give you a very much bird's-eye view of what Dianetics and Scientology can do, from Walt Wall up to Hayes Walls, up to being able to find any wall anywhere. The what wall is kind of a joke because one of the very first auditing actions that you do is have the pre-clear. Somebody's working on getting clear. Go over there and the command is touch that wall. And you go there and the guy touches the wall and says, thank you. We'll touch that wall. He's laying there and have him touch walls. That's all you do. Touch wall, thanks, good. Touch a wall, thank you, good. Touch another wall, good. Touch that one over there. All right. You're just running around touching walls, touching walls, touching walls, touching walls, and things will start to happen to that guy, and he'll get mad and sad and greasy and hurting and just go all kinds of things. And fall down, cry, and moan, and then be mad, and then do everything. You just don't know what's going to happen. It's all coming out of the bank. Because what happened is this guy's got his attention stuck all over the whole track. It's stuck all down through thousands and thousands of engines and chains of lifetimes that you don't even want to remember. And it all affects him. And so when he starts doing it, he's actually looking at the wall now. He looks at it and goes, whoa, there's the wall now. He's putting his attention in present time. Every time he does that, he has to drag a little bit of his attention back out of the past. He's got to come out of the past into the present. That's what you want him to do. Go around and touch the wall, touch the wall, touch the wall, touch the wall. That guy touched the wall, and he jumped about a foot high, and what happened? He disappeared. Oh, really? Yeah, it disappeared. Okay, that's good. Touch that wall. So he reaches out there and touches the wall again. Jumps again. Let the spook again. Fine, listen to him, everything. It's a good kind of intrigue, not quite as crazy as it was, that wall. And he touches a few more times, and then pretty soon he tells you, something, that wall that was disappearing was one with big carvings on it, and this man had some line edge hanging on it. I don't know where it is, but I didn't even notice that picture there before. And sure enough, he'd been looking at that wall for a month, and he never noticed the picture. He didn't see the picture, he saw something that was 100 years in the past. And so here it goes through a great many changes. He starts exteriorization, or exteriorizing, which means to move to the exterior of something, to move out of something. He starts moving his attention units out of the past into the present. That's one of the very first processes in Scientology. It's called CCH, is Control, Communication, and Happiness. You control the pre-C, you keep them in good communication, you go ahead and go touch things, and so he figures out he can reach things, and he can own things, and he can occupy things, and he gets very happy. Because after all, he's a Satan. He can be anything, he can do anything, he can have anything. And it's only when he gets real fixed on, I only got this body, I only got this headache, or only this pain, or this bad sensation, all those people over there all against me. Whatever he's only got, he's just doing that because he's a very powerful person, and if he can't have a game with everybody else, he's going to have one with himself. So the cure to the whole thing, just getting him all around, touch the wall, he's going to contact present time, and he comes in present time, probably the first time in millions and millions of years, and everything is very bright for him, the colors are great, and everything smells good, and his headache's gone, and he's just having a wonderful time. Now, this is a very simple process, very, very, very simple process. And they work incredibly, incredibly well. And it's the basics. It's the very simple thing. It's the scales. It's knowing the study technology. You have a study technology. You go past a word that you not fully understand. You become confused and unable to learn. That's why I went through this lecture and tried to make sure that every word that I used, it was a new word, that I defined it as I used it. I'm applying the study technology to this. I'm trying to make this as understandable as possible. And so if any time during the time that I'm talking, you start feeling kind of groggy and blank and wonder what happened, don't remember exactly what I said, rewind the lecture a bit and find out where there'll be a word there, or something I said that was misunderstood. It's possible I might even make a mistake in this lecture. I'm just doing it straight out. But anyway, the study technology is there. We have a tremendous amount of technology. The bridge is about 85,000 lanes wide. I'm telling you. Wider than that. If we had 100,000 otters, if we had 100,000 otters, we could make, we could make a million clears a year, easy. That's 10 clears each. Man, that's like not even one a month. You ain't even hardly doing anything if you can't make one a month. You're not auditing. Or you're doing it all wrong or something. It won't take long to clear people. People are easy to clear. might be a little bit hard to keep them clear once they are clear. But that's mostly just don't let the guy get back into a pressing environment, you know, where he's being squashed and his wins and his gains and he's getting better being stepped on and squashed and suppressed. So you've entered on a road that you can't get off of. You find truth and you have to keep going. And that's just about the size of it. I've never been seen anybody successful in getting off the bridge. You just can't do it. You know, once you know the way out, and know how little chance anybody had of making it out before that, you don't have a chance. Anybody would, because this is our shot at immortality. You know, I don't want to kick the bucket and go off somewhere and lose my memory and come back and got to do third grade over again. I might run across another bully or something. You know, you have probably several Harvard educations. You know, and why should I have to go to college again? You know, why should I wipe out my memory and this and that and the other thing? Yeah, I don't want to do that. When this body dies, fine, I want to go back and say, okay, my name's Tommy, and jump that little body right up and have it eaten out of the high chair just like a little man, whatever. If I even get a body, I had kind of sort of doubt that I will, and I'll come back as like a thousand bodies or something, or not at all, or who knows. But the thing is, I don't know who I am. I won't forget it. Not a chance I'll forget it. You know, and I'm certain of that. So you lose the fear of death entirely. Well, of course, you know, you never die anyway. I mean, why should you be afraid of something that never happened? You know, maybe you're afraid of losing other people or your car or your body or your little universe or the world or whatever, but it's wherever you're at this time. Wherever you are in the present time. Scientology brings a person in the present time. That's the problem. He's got his stuff stuffed all over the past and he's got all the wrong why. So, you know, for instance, the reason that my knee hurts is because my sister kicked me when I was 3 and it's been limping ever since. But this way, still limping. Well, that's not the original instance. So you take an E-meter, which basically is just a home meter that passes a tiny current through the body and measures resistance. And the Satan looks at a picture and the picture impinges on the body and makes the resistance of the body change a little bit. So you can see what pictures the Satan is thinking with. You can read his mind, in a sense. You know exactly what the significance was, but you see the force on the meter. You can see the force. You don't care what the significance is. When you track down and erase the force, the significance, the pre-clear will know. He'll get that as a cognition. The meter enables you to track down the force, and it reaches below the awareness level of the pre-clear. And a lot of times it'll read, you'll see it read, and you go that, and you go on, and see, okay, so I look again, and kind of looks down the track, and it reads again, you read that, and you go, oh, yeah, I sort of see a flash or something. And it reads again, oh, yeah, you know, there was a cool planet there or something. I don't know exactly where he is, and it reads again. So you use this meter to chase him, to help him chase down these reactive incidents. And very, very handy tool. And eventually, somewhere down the road, meters and things of this universe will get too slow and too inaccurate, basically, to spot the true cause of things. But that's a very long ways up the road. There'll be plenty of case gain, almost endless case gain, before you ever want to not need a meter. And in the meantime, you got the whole dynamics in front of you to really be okay anyway. You got to go out and you got to start controlling the world and the environment and taking responsibility for mankind and immortal things. And make sure you got to take responsibility for being God. Ron says it's the most that you will know about God for a very, very long time to come if you yourself. And truer words were never spoken. And you find more and more and more that everything you thought God was, you're even better than that. And now you have no idea what God is, because it's got to be something more infinite than you. At least that's the thing. And pretty soon all the thing goes and you realize that you are a divine deity. You know? You've been God back and forth all down, in fact. You know? And you still are and you always will. So anyway, with that, I don't know what we've got here. I would assume an hour and a half of lecture. I want to close this all and welcome you to the iCause churches. This is the first lecture. We're also giving them the first day of this month. And this is the 1st of September in the year 2002. And I hope that in the year 2002, it will still have some kind of validity, and I will have done my part, at least a portion of my part, to impart this knowledge to mankind. And I very much look forward to seeing you all at the upper end of the bridge. We are all here. Everybody's here. Lion's here. Mieta. Christ. Buddha. All of the wise men through all the ages. They all said the same thing. You're an immortal. How you choose to deal with it, what do you choose to do with it? The fact is, if you're immortal, that this church can deliver knowing immortality in the present lifetime, that Lafayette Ronald Hubbard was our prophet, and that we believe alterations of his work lead to less and less results, and we feel that he was correct in what he did, the technology is correct, and detractions or alterations from it lessen its workability, and therefore does not form a part of our Old Testament. But further, refinements in the technology of a particular process or attempt at looking at something or a way of applying part of the technology to LH gives a backbone. It gives us a backbone. There's thousands of places the technology can be applied and researched and developed, and huge good done for the planet and mankind and everything. And it's a good big deal. We've got a lot of people to clear. And we clear them by just going out there and clearing one at a time. It doesn't make any difference how long it takes. It doesn't make any difference who's kicking it out. I don't care if it's your bill or me or somebody else. The thing is that racing back on this planet helps mankind. Helping anyone discover a path out of the soup helps mankind. There's nothing that you can do. Scientology is a game of only win-win. Well, at this point in time, the official church has the name of Scientology, and they've copyrighted it, patented it, and hung it up to dry. But the fact is that the very definitions of Scientology and what Scientologists are gets us to the key. A lot of us are old founding Sea Org members like me. A lot of people work with LRH constantly, a lot. There's many people. I'm just a small voice, and it just helps. I happen to be somebody that is fairly influential in the free zone, which is basically Scientology, not of the official church. We consider them, if anything, Latter-day prophets. They bring a tempered word of the prophet, which they've adapted it to further publish, to they've even made some refinements themselves in the technology and the way things were applied and so forth, and they are to be commended for that, and all those people in there are trying to help too. So we're none of us going to make it until we all make it. So even though I hate to say anything bad about the church needs reform. We got the wrong guys in there that are doing the wrong things. They're not only hurting the church, they're hurting all of the church members, they're hurting the planet, they're hurting mankind. So, I hereby claim all of the works of LRH to be in the domain of mankind. The null power greater than God can set aside this right. the formation of the church. Many of these lectures will be on the creed of the new church. Ordination, how we go about ordinizing, or organizing. How we go about making people minister. Ordination. We have a tremendous amount of work to do. There's a lot of stuff to be done. There's a lot of people to do it on. Unfortunately, we have quite a few that are willing to help more and more join every day. And you new people, you're the very most important. You're the very most important people because if the first thing you go out there and you grab your buddy and drag him in, your wife and friend, and the guy down the block, and you know, bring the dog in too. You want everybody to know about this thing. It's fun. You're getting better. And that depends on you. You have to learn technology. You have to make your own. You have to be true to your own goals. You have to dedicate some time. Just set yourself so much time aside every day or every week or a month or year, whatever. You set some time aside and make sure you get some auditing, or you read some books, or do some lot scanning, or do self-analysis, or you go get a session with somebody, or you get a study group together, or you read a book, and you do something. And you won't be surprised how fast it goes. Like blazing lightning. You can do it easily in a lifetime. Easily. If you're dedicated, you can do it in 3 to 4 years. Complete the bridge. Enough to where you ain't even going to worry about anything ever again, at least compared to your viewpoint right now. So anyway, thanks for being here. I hope you found this lecture entertaining. As I do more of them, I'll probably get more practice out of it and I won't stutter so much. I'm reminded a lot of some of the things that O.H. said and how he presented some of his lectures, and I'll try to go ahead and give our new bridge and give the things that we're supposed to be doing. I'll try to take everything. I am going to pass on everything that I know in condensed form, the most easy to learn, a super booster shot of data to clear people as rapidly and as quickly as possible. And it's much quicker than many people ever believed. And I refuse to admit that it's not possible for everybody, except for the truly insane, and even they can be tackled. So, thank you for listening. This is going to conclude this new person lecture, and I'll give the next one a little more thought, and give it a little more outline, and we'll see what we can do about getting you started being an artist.